Welcome to the Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley at Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. May the Lord inspire, encourage, and direct you today. May you be transformed and refreshed by the Water of the Word.
See, nobody really knows what David is speaking of here. Some people have speculated, but they're not really sure. When is it that David was that close to dying? Perhaps one of the times when King Saul was closing in on him? Perhaps. But a good tip for us, when we're in one of those times when it looks like it's curtains for us, good thing to pray the promises. Here David is saying, I read my Bible, and I know that the fathers were in a pickle a time or two as well. And you showed up every time, and you delivered them. Verse 5. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm. Circle that word, worm, and it's the Hebrew word, toloth. Toloth. I believe, T-O-W-L-A-T-H. Toloth. And that word, worm, is a literal worm. It's an interesting and peculiar little worm. It finds its way to a certain location, typically on a tree, and it locks itself to the tree with this cementing system of certain enzymes that really cement the little guy right to the bark of the tree or the surface of the piece of wood. And then when it's time for the new little worms to come out, if it's the female doesn't have any wings. And so then an egg sac is produced and then little other toloth worms are born. And what they do is they eat the mom for nourishment. In doing so, her body begins to expand and eventually splits and ruptures. And when she does, she leaves a scarlet stain on the wood. And knowing this peculiar process, it was an industry. If you wanted a nice red, deep red color, get a bunch of toloth worms, and before the Cuisinart, you would just mash them up in a bowl. And you would squeeze out this deep scarlet red dye that was very difficult to launder out. The psalmist is saying, speaking of Jesus, I'm a worm. John Corson said, look at the progression. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's the King of hosts. You know what that means? He commands all of the angels and that heavenly armor. How many angels? I don't know, but a lot of angels. And then what does he do? He lays aside all of that royalty and he zips up a human suit in the form of Jesus. And then from a man even, he becomes a lamb. And then from a lamb, he becomes a worm. I can't get my brain around that. Every other religion in the world is, you better shape up and fly right. And the religion has its do's and don'ts and chapter and verse and hoops to jump through. And if you do these five pillars, and you do them all in a certain manner, in a certain whatever, then you arrive at the place of judgment, and if God is in a good mood, he may receive you. Or he may just go, and off you go. Because that God, of course, is pernicious, given evidently to mood swings of some note. Do you see that every other religion is us trying to ascend to God's righteousness? Only biblical Christianity takes the infinite God who zips up a human suit and acts in the same manner as a worm for my sins. Biblical Christianity is the only system out there where the amazing God comes down to my level and with his strong hand, he pulls me up to his. Does that make sense? When humans, if we're going to design a religion, that's how we would do it. Because humans, after all, have the ability to do what? Pull ourselves up by our spiritual, virtuous bootstraps. But I am a toloth, a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. Imagine now you're standing at the foot of the cross. What's happening? What's the crowd yelling at him? He saved others. How come he can't save himself? Ha ha. Neener, neener. Spitting. Do you guys realize it wasn't the nails that kept him to the cross? It was his love for me. Read one commentator today. If he wanted to, he could have turned those nails into lightning bolts. But he didn't. Wasn't the nails that held him to the cross. It was his love for me. Save yourself. He saved others. Oh, loved one, if he would have come off the cross and said, who needs this ridicule? I'm the God who created the heavens and the earth. Boof, your molecules disappear. Boof, your molecules disappear. Anybody else want you some of that? Come on. Who wants some? If he would have come off the cross, then we wouldn't be sitting here today, would we? Verse 8, he trusted in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. And let the Lord deliver him since he delights in the Lord. Does that sound familiar, you guys? Right in your margin, Matthew 27:43. That's exactly what they were saying. Can you imagine if you happen to have your scroll with you at the cross? And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And if you were a diligent Torah student or a student of the Old Testament, you went, that's what my rabbi does. I know where that is. It's Psalm 22. And you roll it open, and then you're reading this, and as they're yelling from the crowd, he saved others. What can he save himself? Ha, 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 ha. And you would have gotten to verse 8. What would you have done? Verse 9. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. This is very important. That word there for trust is a word that means to understand and to be confident. Remember how the Gospels tell you what Jesus did, but the Psalms tell you what he was thinking? This is an indicator that Jesus, from birth practically, certainly a small toddler, knew who he was, knew his mission in life. And what is it, Luke chapter 2, when mom and dad are too busy and they forget kid at the mall, remember that at Jerusalem? And it takes him 3 days to get back. Where'd they find him? Do you remember where he was? He was in the temple. What were the scribes and Pharisees doing? They were astonished. He was 12 years old, you guys. But here's an indicator. You, God the Father, made me, Messiah, trust, understand, and be confident in who I was and what my mission is. While on my mother's breast, I was cast upon you from birth and from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Verse 11, be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me, strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. This is chilling. If you do a little research, the bulls of Bashan, where is Bashan today? It's the Golan Heights and a little bit farther east than that, or modern-day Syria. The Canaanites, before the people of Israel tossed them out, they inhabited that whole region. Gilead is another name for it. You know what they did there? They had these little bulls like little idols. Their gods, little g. And what they did was, there was a lot of real kind of supernatural spookums going on. And so the bulls of Bashan became a kind of a colloquial term for devilish demons and the demonic. What are the humans doing at the cross? Chiding. Razor sharp little rebukes and jabs. Oh, it's the Messiah. You are. If you're God, if you're Messiah, then come off the cross. It wasn't coming just from the humans. Look at verse 12. The bulls of Bashan have encircled me. It's a colloquial term for the demonic. Oh, can you imagine our Lord? All sin heaped upon him. All the wrath of God. The humans whom he is dying for. Ripping him verbally. And the demonic hordes all around. Who knew Jesus when he was glorified before he came to planet Earth. Can you imagine the ridicule? He endured it all so that we can be here. This is some fairly good insight, wouldn't you agree, about what's going on at the cross? Verse 13, these demons, they gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. Of course, we know, what is it, 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, who's that? The devil, is as a what? That's right, seeking whom he may devour. See how your Bible dovetails Old and New Testament? Verse 14, I am poured out like water and all of my bones are out of joint. The perfect Passover lamb, remember, one of the things he was never to have broken bones. He was to be spotless. A picture of the sinless life of our Lord that Jesus would fulfill. But when you're stretched out on a cross, the intense physics, holding yourself up by your weight, your hands over your head directly over a bar, not so bad. Remember when you're a kid, 12 years old, I could do this all day. Try it one time. Hang with your arms out as far apart as you can. The physics changes. Remember vector analysis and all the forces are pulling? If they're out this way, pulling, the weight of your body is directly pulling to the outside. And practically everyone who was crucified with nails in their wrists, dislocated wrists, elbows, and shoulders. If you've ever dislocated a joint, do I have to tell you how searing pain that is? How did the psalmist, 1,000 years before Jesus, some 800 years before crucifixion, ever enter the heart of terrible human torturers? Because God knows the future. Verse 14, I am poured out like water and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd and my tongue clings to my jaws. I had to know something. Because of the tremendous forces forcing your arms to the outside, your pectoralis, major muscles, and some of your stomach muscles, etc., are stretched to the point that you can't exhale. The only way you could draw in a breath is to push yourself up on your nail-pierced feet, relieve the pressure in the midpoint, draw a breath, and then, of course, your thighs would start burning, and you couldn't hold that position. You let go again. This works a tremendous deficit of your bellows system of getting oxygen to the lungs, then in turn to the organs. And so it happens, when you are short of breath, you suddenly climb a flight of stairs or you have to run quickly, your brain realizes, oops, we need more oxygen, and your heart begins to what? Beat faster, and you begin to breathe harder. Well, that's a chemical wiring system that the Lord, the Creator, has put in, because what happens is the body senses CO2 buildup in the bloodstream. That's the signal that tells the sensing nerves, come on, heart, go faster, faster, faster. When this whole system of you can't really exhale, you have to step up to exhale and draw breath, you begin to run a great deficit, and carbon dioxide begins to build up in the system. So what does the brain do? Come on, heart, come on, come on. The heart beats faster, faster, faster. But because it's still not getting enough oxygen, then what do the internal organs do? They cry out for oxygen and hydration. And the body sucks in, as it were, its moisture to the core, trying to save itself. And you sense that by a sudden and huge thirst. How is Psalm 22 describing in great deal the accuracy of someone dying on a cross? Verse 16, four dogs have surrounded me. There would be your Gentiles. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. Imagine yourself at the foot of the cross with Psalm 22 unfurled before you. Oh, that poor Jesus. He was doing so good until he got himself crucified. But as you're reading Psalm 22, imagine you're sitting there, you look up, and they are yelling the haranguing thoughts. Look at this, my bones are out of joint. Ooh, that's happening. Look at, he's bleeding out. The other two on the other side are going, water, water. And then you look around and there's the Roman soldiers. What are they doing, you guys? They're rolling dice for his clothes. And then you look up from your scripture and you look up and you see that his hands and feet are pierced. Right in your margin, there's Zechariah 12:10. The prophet Zechariah says, one day Israel is going to look upon me, Jehovah God, whom they pierced. When was Jehovah God ever pierced, you guys? Right here. I can count all my bones, meaning I can observe them all. Point being is they're not broken. Right in your margin there, Exodus 12, verse 46, one of the prophecies of Messiah. They look and they stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast what, everybody? Imagine looking up from this verse right to the Romans. I get his cloak. Oh, what God has done. What God has done to reveal to us his heart. Whew. History written in advance. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. Oh, my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog or the Gentile. Save me from the lion's mouth. Figuratively, who is that, everybody? That would be the devil, if you will, the demonic. And from the horns of the wild oxen. What did Jesus pray in the garden? If it's possible, Lord, let there be any other way than the cross. It's mirroring this sentiment here. But praise God. Look at the last part of verse 21. You have answered me. I wrote my Bible, resurrection. God answered all of these prayers. Verse 22, I will declare your name to my brother, resurrection. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, all you Jews, glorify him. Did a lot of Jews get saved after Jesus' resurrection and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2? Oh, yeah. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel, for he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. Notice capital H, this is messianic. But when he cried to him, he, the Father, heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Can you see? We don't have time to run all of these down. But these are all messianic. You see that? Because this is what's going to happen. Jesus fulfilled it in his ministry. After the second chapter of the book of Acts, what is the church doing? Satan thought he won a great victory when he said, I got him, he's dead on the cross. Woo! What he wasn't counting on was the resurrection, the ascension where Jesus ascends into heaven and now appears in the form of the Holy Spirit through how many of us? So to speak, he thought that he did away with the one Messiah, Jesus. But really what happened was, because of Jesus' finished work on the cross, the pouring out of the Holy Spirit, now Jesus, so to speak, through us, can beware. I bet the devil's all, dang, I wasn't counting on that one. Verse 25, my praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord, Jehovah. Notice capital L, capital O-R and D. Let your heart live forever. Verse 27, and all the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. When is it that all of the humans actually do respond to the Lord? It's at the end of the great tribulation and moving into the first few days, if you will, of the millennial reign. And all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. And all the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. That's the millennial reign of our Lord, made possible by his finished work on the cross. All those who go down to the dust, in other words, who died, shall bow before him. Right in your margin there, Romans 14, verse 11. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess what? That Jesus Christ is Lord. Even he who cannot keep himself alive. Verse 30. And posterity, I like King James, a seed. If it's seed, and both words are completely permissible here in the Hebrew, this idea of a seed was also messianic, to be sure, and it's very closely associated with the church. A posterity, a seed, King James, shall serve him, the church. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation, and they, the church, they will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. That has he done this. If you look that word up, he has done this, that's four English words. That's actually only one Hebrew word. It's the Hebrew word asah. The only other place this is ever used in the Bible, 2 Chronicles chapter 4, verse 11. Well, when you turn there, that's when Solomon is wrapping up the construction of the temple. And here's the word. Quote, and Hiram finished the work. That word asah, the only other location you find it in the Bible, is here, and it's translated finished. Verse 31, they, if you will, the church, will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born. And here's what we will say. It is finished. Somebody better say amen to that one. I don't know. Amen. It is finished. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you, Father, for the wonderful worship tonight. Oh, glory to your name. Psalm 22. Prophetically, intellectually, it's quite satisfying, Lord, to know that you write history in advance. The history that's this specific. The piercing of the hands and the feet. The dividing or the gambling for your clothes. The words literally escaping the lips of the mocking crowd. Cataloged 1,000 years before the events transpire. Oh, thank you, Lord, for the intellectual foundation. And now, Lord, I pray, especially for those who desire to worship you in spirit and in truth. Oh, my. Oh my, all the weight of every sin and the righteous anger of every murder and violence and torture and abandonment, all the focus of the fury of our Father on you. And then the swirling, stinging harangues of the demonic. The entire fallen creation screaming at you, get off of that cross! Don't die for the humans! And you stayed for me. Oh, my Lord God. There's coming a day, Lord, when we're going to see you face to face. And at that moment, never will we be more grateful for this great salvation. But until that day, Lord, we thank you for the communion table and the elements of the cup and the bread. Let Harvest Family Fellowship learn how to worship you, my Lord, in spirit and in truth. May we grab, as it were, the hem of your garment and hold on and never let go. Make us worshipers, Lord, who are just undone by this great salvation. salvation. I love you and I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Services are Wednesday evenings at 6:30 and Sunday mornings at 10:30. Pastor Steve encourages you to follow Acts chapter 2, verse 42. Word, worship, prayer, and fellowship every day. If you'd like to hear today's message in its full, unedited form or view the verse-by-verse teachings from Pastor Steve, visit harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org.
How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me.
May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.